Okay, we are on the air. So a few shots sent in, one of them from my dear friend, who I'm not going to identify him. Are you allowed to lend your car to someone who's Mechal Shabbos? He's a friend of yours, an acquaintance of yours. You know, and he knows, he may have even told you that he's going to drive the car on Shabbos. Are you allowed to lend him? So I actually wanted to say no. And I looked around and I saw it's a very big debate. There's a lot of discussion about it. I discussed it with my Rebbe and he said, you are allowed to do it, mutter. And the reason is that you're not doing anything. What he does is up to him. You shouldn't be encouraging Chilul Shabbos. You shouldn't say, oh yeah, run me some errands. You know, while you have my car, could you like pick me up a Slurpee? You can't do that. But the idea that he's going to be using your thing on Shabbos is fine. Again, not fine that he should, but you're allowed to give it to him. You're allowed to let him do it. And that is not just by a car. Hello, Martin. Hello, Menachem. Not just by a car, but anything. If you know that someone's going to be Mechal Shabbos with your stuff, you're still allowed to let him use it, allowed to lend it to him, and try to, you know, convince him not to do it at the future date. But you are allowed to lend it to him. That was shot number one. Shot number two, in general about candles on Shabbos, I get the shayla a lot. There seems to be some confusion. Whether you're married, whether you're single, whether you are a boy, whether you are a girl, there's a chiv to light Shabbos candles. Hello, Team Siegel, and hello, Yudi. What we're doing right now, the second, first shayla was, you can lend your car to someone who's Mechal Shabbos. Benji is asking, are you allowed to charge him for it? It's a great question. I believe directly you cannot, meaning like you can't rent it to him for Shabbos, but you want to rent it to him for a week, you want to rent it for 5 days, and one of those days is Shabbos, then I believe that is okay. It's just not directly Shabbos. Okay, so shot number two is candles for Shabbos. So whether you're married or single, boy or girl, you have a chiv to light Shabbos candles. Now, the idea is if you're married, so the women normally light it, but it's not a woman's mitzvah. It's a chiv on every person to have Shabbos candles, and therefore you must light them. Now, if you are eating in one place and sleeping in another place, so then you are allowed to light in whichever place you like with the bracha. So if you're eating by your friends and sleeping at home, you can decide where it's easier to light, right? It may be easier for you to light where you're eating. Maybe easier for you to light where you are sleeping. Whichever place is easier to light is where you can light with a bracha. However, you definitely have to light, definitely have to make a bracha. And one more thing, wherever you are sleeping, hello, Gashi, wherever you are sleeping, you must have light there. So where you make the bracha, where you're eating or sleeping, it's whichever one you want. But whatever you are doing, make sure you leave on light wherever you're sleeping. That was shot number two. And shot number three was sent in from my dear friend, Gershi. You made it to the air. You made it on the air, Gershi. Are you allowed to go fishing? Hello, Abba. Shot number three is, are you allowed to go fishing? And here's where this goes. If you want to go fishing for dinner, you want food, mutter, no problem. But let's say you're not doing it for the food. You're doing it for the fun, for the sport. And you're either just going to kill it, or you're going to throw it back. So in the last year, I was told to make sure and highlight, not every fish that you catch is kosher. There are some catfish. There are some fish out there that are just not kosher. So we're not talking about them, but and make sure you don't eat them. But as a general idea, are you allowed to fish for sport? So the Nei Divi Yehuda was asked to Shaila. There was a big debate. Some wanted to say there's no pain to the fish if you just throw him back. There's no, he doesn't have any nerves in his mouth. I never asked the fish. I don't know. But that was a debate if there are or not. But bottom line is, here's the way it comes out. Is it mutter? Mutter. Hello, Susie. It is mutter to do it, but it's not the most holy of activities. That meaning like this, I think the lesson he says is it's not something that a ben Torah should be doing, which means a general idea of hurting fish for game, for sport, or potentially hurting them is not a great idea. So now, if for some reason you have to do it, you need to get out, it's not usher. But should that be a standard activity in your life, it should not. So if you want to catch it to eat, great. If you catch it for fun, so then maybe once or twice a year, okay, but definitely not something to do, make a habit of. Okay.
There's a chilek between, Rabbeinu, there's a chilek between whether it's a kosher fish or a non-kosher fish?
No. I was just meant to highlight if I told you the fish to eat, but make sure whatever you're eating is a kosher fish. They felt that was important. I speaked it out in last year. So I did. But as far as game and herding animals, there's no difference whether it's a kosher fish or not kosher fish.
Okay.
That is a wrap on the random shy list. Here we go. Tonight's main event. If Mashiach does not come and we do not have Beis HaMikdash, so then Saturday night, Sunday will be Tisha B'Av. So here we go, some shilas. In general, we do not say Tachanun before, in the Mincha before. Nacham, okay, we do not say Tachanun. Hello, Nacham. We just discussed the halacha, which is relevant to you. You're allowed to fish if you want to eat, but fishing for sport, once in a while, maybe, but not as a habit. Okay, so back to Tisha B'Av. That was special for you, Nachum. Now, start.
Sorry, I missed that, and I don't have to repeat anything.
I won't. But for you, you know, you get an honorable mention. Okay, so now, back to Tisha B'Av. Generally, we do not say Tachanun in the Mincha before Tisha B'Av. This year, the Tisha B'Av is Saturday night. So by Shabbos, we never say Mincha. But at Mincha, we do not say Tzitkascha. Right, the three psukim at the end of Mincha, we do not say that because it's similar to Tachanun. We do not say that. Another thing that's relevant on Shabbos is it's brought down in Halacha not to learn Happy Torah from Chatzais and on every Erev Tisha B'Av. Every Erev Tisha B'Av is brought down not to learn Happy Torah. Right, whatever Torah you're allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av, you're allowed to learn, but Happy Torah, the other Torah that you're not allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av, is brought down not to learn from Chatzais and on Erev Tisha B'Av. This year, because it's Shabbos, it's a big debate if that applies. So definitely there's room to be lenient. So if you have a shir, you have a harusa, you really, really want to learn, which I know most of you have that taiva, and it's hard for you to control yourselves. So you can say in my name, it's mutter. You can go ahead and learn Erev Tisha B'Av, Shabbos is here the whole day. If you're the only one in shul learning, maybe learn somewhere else. Meaning if everyone else in shul is learning Eicha and Yirmiyah and the sad Gemaras and Gittin, so then maybe you shouldn't be the one there learning Baba Kama and fighting about, a bar and a shor. But at the end of the day, it's mutter, and that's okay. Now, what else is relevant on Shabbos? In normal years, the Suda before the fast is called a Suda HaMafsekas and has a lot of halachas, a lot of rules of what you're allowed to eat, how you're allowed to eat, etc. This year, none of them are relevant. None, zero. There's nothing called a Suda HaMafsekas this year. What we have this year is what's called Shalash Shudas. We have regular Shalash Shudas. You're allowed to have meat. You're allowed to have wine, whether you're Sephardi or not. This is unbelievable. Even Ashkenazim, allowed to have wheat, meat, allowed to have wine, you're allowed to have friends over, you're allowed to sing, you're allowed to have a zimun, you're allowed to have a regular shalash shudas. The only difference here is it must end at shkia. Normally shalash shudas can go however late you want to go. This year, the shalash shudas must stop at shkia at sunset because you're not allowed to eat joint manas shemashes because maybe it is already the fast. So therefore, regular shalash shudas, but at sunset, stop. Now also, from sunset and on, you can't wash your hands regularly. The same way on Tisha B'Av, we'll discuss what you're allowed to wash. So therefore, what some people do is stop 2 minutes, 3 minutes before Shkia, wash your hands, your last good wash before Tisha B'Av, and then you can bench before Shkia if you want, you can bench after Shkia. Just make sure there's no more eating or regular washing from Shkia and on. Now, as far as switching out of Shabbos clothing to Tisha B'Av clothing, or to Tisha B'Av shoes, that you do not do at sunset, that you wait until three stars. Until Tesach HaChavim, until Shabbos is over, you do not switch out of your shoes. And therefore, here's the way it goes. You bench at Shkia or earlier, no eating, no washing. You wait around. And that Beis HaMikdash time is you can clean up the food, clean up the house, if you want to make the house nice and clean, but there's no anything else. There's no Shabbos activity And there's no Tishabav activity because it's no man's land. It's not this, it's not that. And then, but then once Yitzchak comes, here's what you do. Three stars are out. You say, Baruch Hamavdil Ben Kodesh L'chol. Four words. Baruch Hamavdil Ben Kodesh L'chol. And then switch from your Shabbos shoes and Shabbos clothes into your Tisha B'Av shoes, your Tisha B'Av clothes. Now, some shuls will delay Meir a few minutes, and therefore they'll wait for you to do that at home. And then you come to Meir in shul wearing your Tisha B'Av clothing. Other shuls are very, you know, time is time, and we start exact same time, in which case you do it in shul. The problem is you're not really allowed to bring your Tisha B'Av stuff to shul on Shabbos. So therefore, if you know you're davening Ma'ariv at a shul that's going to be starting exactly set time, Erev Shabbos, you should bring your Tisha B'Av stuff, your kinnis, and your shoes to shul Erev Shabbos so that you're not doing it on Shabbos and prep for after Shabbos. Okay, so now from between now and Shabbos, figure out where you're davening, what time they're davening, and will you have time to switch at home and carry your stuff and wear your stuff to shul. Now, the other major trick this year is Havdalah. Okay, so listen closely. The other year, people were like falling off their faces. Pay attention. Here's what happens this year for Havdalah. Saturday night, so you'll say Baruch HaMavdil, four words. Baruch HaMavdil Mechor Shechol, and or in Shemona Esrei, you say Atochan Antanu. Okay, so besides that, once you've said those words, you're allowed to do Malacha. Those four words, or Atochan Antanu in Shemona Esrei, like every month of Shabbos, you're now allowed to do Malacha. But what's Havdalah? Here's the way this goes. Saturday night, we make one bracha. The bracha is Barei Merei Ha'esh. That's it. That is the only bracha for Havdalah that we'll be making Saturday night. Now, most shuls will make it in shul. If for whatever reason they didn't, you do it at home. If women didn't go to shul, so then they can make it for themselves at home, or their husbands cannot make it in shul and make it for them at home. But that's it. Saturday night, one bracha, Barei Merei Ha'esh. Sunday night, we do two brachas, which is Barei Pri Hagafen on a cup of wine or grape juice, and Baruch Atah Hashem HaMacham HaMavdil Ben Kodesh L'chol Ben Ochoshech, the second bracha of HaMavdil. So Sunday night, we do Havdalah on a cup of wine or grape juice, and we say the bracha of Baruch HaMavdil, the full bracha. Okay? This year, if you paid attention, there will be no Hinei Kel Yeshua Si, and there will be no bracha on B'Samen. Not this year. So Saturday night Ha'esh, Sunday night Hagafen, and Hamadil. Now, here's a major shaila. Let's say someone has to eat. Or Moshe Veha, you're in there with children, right? Let's say this year there's someone who will be eating on Tisha B'Av. So like this, here's the way this goes. If you are a child from 12 and under for a boy or 11 and under and a girl, there's no chiyuv to Havdalah until Sunday night. They are allowed to eat. Okay? They are allowed to eat right away whenever they want without Havdalah. Hello, doctor. So we are discussing now this year's Tisha B'Av. You can't eat without Havdalah. For an adult who's fasting, he makes an Eish Saturday night and Hagafen and Hamavdil Sunday night. But let's say there's someone eating. Let's say doctor, someone calls you up and says, I must eat or I will die. So what you tell them is eat and do not die. However, if you are a child, you can eat without Havdalah. If you are an adult, boy, girl, 12, 13 and older, you cannot eat without Havdalah. And therefore, here's what happens. Let's say Saturday night you're fasting well. Sunday morning comes, you must fast. Sorry, you must eat. It's now Sunday 10 in the morning. You have to eat. The first thing you do is make Havdalah. Or let's say it's Saturday night, you know you're going to eat. You're eating. Make Havdalah. But what's the Havdalah? Two brachas. Baruch Adonai HaMavdil Ben Kodesh L'chol, that bracha. But also you have to do it on a cup of something. The problem is it's not recommended to do it on a cup of wine or grape juice because it's Tisha B'Av. We don't want to do it on wine or grape juice on Tisha B'Av. So the best thing to do it on is a cup of a natural juice like orange juice. Not the like from concentrate or, you know, from the drink, the orange drink, but a natural juice is the best. If you can't get that, then coffee. If you can't get that, then you can do it on grape juice or wine. But ideally, because of Tisha B'Av, you don't want to do it on grape juice or wine. And therefore, let's just go in the ideal world. You're going to make it on an orange juice, perhaps a coffee. You fill up a cup. You do not say hagafen because the bracha on orange juice and the coffee is not hagafen. You make the bracha of shahakol. So you say, baruch atah Hashem, shahakol niyeh b'dvaro. Baruch atah Hashem, hamavdil ben kodesh, l'chol ben rachol, that. That's it. And then you drink it, and then you can eat whatever you need to eat. Okay, so this is the rule for anyone who must eat on Tisha B'Av, must make Havdalah first. That is that. Okay, moving on. Yes, so what Alex is asking is like this. Let's say a woman is going to eat, and does she make Havdalah herself or her husband? Here it goes both ways. You do whatever you want. Let me explain how this works. If the woman is making Havdalah, sorry, the woman needs to eat. She needs her Havdalah. So she could do it by herself if she wants. Or her husband can make it for her, or any man can make it for her. And she drinks it, not him. And he was Yotzei Havdalah. So here's like the scenario. Sunday morning, lady says, I am dying, I must drink. Man says, no problem. Man makes Havdalah on orange juice, says Shahakol, says Hamavdil, and she drinks it, not him. He's Yotzei Havdalah, and Sunday night, he can eat and drink without Havdalah because he already had Havdalah. Because he made it for her or whichever sick person, whoever makes Havdalah for the sick person does not need to make Havdalah again Sunday night. So he can go right away after Maariv and start eating. Haha. Hey, you didn't make Havdalah. I made Havdalah today at 10 o'clock for someone else. That's fine. Okay, so now. Yes, for the Havdalah after Tisha B'Av, we're not as machmir. You do not need to use orange juice. For the Havdalah after Tisha B'Av, you can use grape juice and wine, even though we don't eat grape juice and wine until Monday Chatzos, which we'll get to. But for the Havdalah of after Tisha B'Av, that you can do it on grape juice and wine. Okay, those are the Havdalah rules. So now at Tisha B'Av. We made the Tisha B'Av Maariv. So if you're diving with the minion, you'll do whatever they do, whatever they're doing. If you're not diving with the minion, you still say kinais, you still read the Megillah Eicha, you don't make a bracha on the Megillah, but you still say kinais, you still read the Megillah, you still sit on the floor and daven Maariv and everything on the floor. That is what Maariv is Saturday night. In general, which we'll get to soon, but when you sit on the floor, you should have something between you and the floor. That's Alpi Kabbalah, spooky stuff, that you should have something between you and the floor, but definitely sit on the floor and daven Maariv, Kinnis, and Eicha. Now we get to the Isurim of Tisha B'Av. The idea is, contrary to popular belief, the rabbis are not out there to kill us, to make us suffer and torture us. Yet they gave us so many halachas here of Tisha B'Av, which would perhaps get you to think like that. But the idea of all these Isurim that we're going to discuss is just trying to keep us focused, not to keep our eyes and ears on other things. Stay focused on Tisha B'Av on the morning. The idea is we're supposed to be morning based on Mikdash, realize what we lost, realize how much suffering we have, realize what we think about what we need to do to get it rebuilt. And therefore, everything else we want to try and forget about. Because of that, the Rabbanah made a lot of things usher. We're a mourning. We're focusing on nothing else except for the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, having said that, here we go. Number one is no eating and no drinking. Even if you're really hungry, even if you have a headache, still there's no eating, no drinking. You have to get to a point that you're really sick. Now, I don't mean deathly ill, but to a point where you're not normally ill. No, everyone doesn't, I would say, enjoy sickness, not everyone enjoys fasting and there's some level of discomfort. So whatever is normal for discomfort, so then that is fine and expected. You don't break your fast. If something is abnormal, there's some sickness going on and it's abnormal, that's when perhaps you can break your fast. You should discuss it with someone, but it's got to be an abnormal reaction to the fasting to allow you to break your fast. If Alex, I'll get to your childhood soon. If you had a baby in the last 30 days, which I don't think anyone here did, then you don't fast. But otherwise, nursing mothers or pregnant ladies do fast, as opposed to other fasts. Tisha B'Av, they do fast. However, they'll be quicker to break the fast. If you're nursing or you're pregnant and you're starting to feel a little bit sicker than normal, there's a chance of danger to you or the baby, then you eat. But still, they start fasting. If you need to take medicine, take medicine. Better to take it without any water. If you cannot do that, so you take it with a little bit of water, just the smallest amount to get the medicine down. In the last year, someone had asked, certain medicines require food. So check into with your doctor if you have to take that medicine on Tisha B'Av, and if you have to take it with food. If the answer is yes and yes, you must take it, and you must take it with food, well then you must take it and you must take it with food. But try to do it as little as possible. As long as it's less than the kazayas, you're still fasting, you still say anenu. If you have to have a significant amount, so then you should still fast, everything else, but you cannot say anenu. If you ate more than a kazayas, perhaps more than two kazayasim, then you cannot say anenu. Okay, that is as far as the eating and drinking. As far as washing out your mouth, let's say you have bad breath, or your friend in shul tells you that you have bad breath. If it is tremendous tsar, there's tremendous pain to you or your neighbors, so then you should brush your teeth, wash out with scope, mouthwash, or something else. If it's not so tremendous, it's just a little bit uncomfortable, so then better not to wash out. But again, the word here is tsar gadol. If there is tremendous pain to someone, so then you can brush your teeth and use mouthwash. Okay, next thing, washing. You're not allowed to wash your hands or your body on Tisha B'Av. The only thing you're allowed to do is wash for what is exactly dirty. The spots that are there. If you get dirty somewhere, you can use your imagination how you got dirty. But wherever you got dirty, that you are and you should wash off. But general washing, because that's what you do, I wash when I do this, I wash when I do that, you shouldn't do. Now, here are the exceptions. When you go to daven, or you wake up in the morning, then you have to wash. But you do not wash your whole hand. You wash down to the end of the fingers, not the hand. So we're going to count knuckles. 1, 2, 3, the third knuckle. And on your thumb, it's the second knuckle. Okay? So on your four fingers or your eight fingers, you wash the three knuckles until the start of your hand. On your thumb, we only have one other knuckle. So you go two knuckles down. That's what you're washing, your whole finger, none of your hand. Okay? That is, anything funny, Sam? That is what you're doing when you wake up in the morning.
It's the first time I realized you have one less knuckle on your thumb than the rest of the finger.
Sam, you see what Torah teaches you? You get to learn everything here. Anyway, but that'll be the end of our anatomy share. Now, that's what you wash at the end of your fingers, not your hand. Now, so that you do when you wake up in the morning, and you can do that when you go to the bathroom from davening, or the only other things you're washing are if something gets dirty. If you're washing food, like a fruit for a child, you can wash it and don't worry wherever the water gets, the water gets. You don't have to like be so concerned. Oh no, it touched my hand. You're washing it for the fruit, that's fine. Okay, next thing is what's called sicha. Sicha literally means anointing. Anointing is something like what Esther did before she went to the queen, before she went to Achashverosh, like she anointed herself in like oils for 6 months. So you cannot do that. Practically speaking, what it comes down to is perfume and deodorant. Perfume, usser, deodorant, mutter. Cologne, usser, deodorant, mutter. If you got the theme is to prevent bad odor is fine. To bring on positive odor is not fine. So no perfumes or colognes, but yes, deodorant, that's fine. And recommended to use deodorant. That someone asked me last year as far as lotions and like hand creams. So he was asking for a child, whatever the child needs for sure, and you can smear on the child. For you personally, if it's for enjoyment, then no. If it's because you have some skin condition, well, then that's fine. Okay.
What about deodorants that have smells?
If it's deodorant and the goal of the deodorant is to keep bad odor away, so even though it happens to come with a positive smell, that's fine. It's a deodorant. Is it in which section is it in the supermarket? In the deodorant section or in the cologne section? And they're right next to each other, but which one is it? So if it's deodorant, fine. If it's cologne, no good. Okay, now as far as shoes go, the isser is to wear leather shoes. There's no isser to wear any other type of shoe. So Crocs are fine, all the slides, all the things, as long as it's not leather, it's fine. The only issue is that these shoes that are not leather are so comfortable, and there are people who wear them all day and all year. So it's nothing special or different because it's Tisha B'Av. So it's still mutter, but I recommend not to do it. I mean, if the shoe that you wear all year round is a non-leather shoe and super duper comfortable, which is why you're wearing it all year round, well, then you're not really doing anything on Tisha B'Av. And therefore, I would recommend and encourage you to switch to shoes. They don't need to be shoes with thorns in them or like those wooden clogs that will, like, you know, hurt you and everyone when you walk. But you should definitely wear a different type of shoe that's a little bit less comfortable. But again, that's more of a personal feeling, not a chiyuv. Okay, that is that as far as shoes. Alex and Team Siegel, you can put on any of the Purell or antibiotical cream, well, not antibiotical, any creams that you want to protect from your paranoia, or even if it's not paranoia, it's fine. You can use those alcohol creams.
The entire hand?
Yes, yes. Meaning, because there you're doing it for protection. You're not doing it for enjoyment at all. You're doing it because you don't want to get sick or make others sick. So that's fine. Okay, marital relations, usher, Saturday night. Some are makbid not to touch their wife at all for the 24 hours, what's called harchakas. So it's a chumra, it's not a chiyuv, it's a chumra. If the mikvah was supposed to be Saturday night, you push it off. And that is that. Now we get to Talmud Torah. So Torah, whether you like it or not, makes you super duper happy. And if you don't feel it, your neshama is feeling it. You got that, Yiddy? And whether you know it or not, whether you like it or not, Torah makes you happy, and therefore you cannot learn Torah on Tisha B'Av. However, there are certain Torahs, parts of the Torah, that you're allowed to learn, even if it makes you happy, even if you enjoy it, it's inherently sad, and therefore you're allowed to learn that on Tisha B'Av. There's a whole list of things, the Gemara that talk about, the destruction of Beis HaMikdash, Eicha, Yirmiyah, Hilchos Avelis, Hilchos Tisha B'Av, a whole list of things you can discuss. I'll discuss with you, but in general, happy Torah, no, sad Torah, yes. And therefore, once you're allowed to do it, then you should do it because it's still a mitzvah to learn Torah. Yirmiyah Eicha, sad stuff is still Torah, and therefore you should still learn it. And that is that. As far as
what about Shirim, like Torah Anytime recordings and speeches and Shirim? That's
the rule. If the Shirim on Torah Anytime are about Daf Yomi or Torah that you're not allowed to learn, you're not allowed to listen to it. If it's about Tisha B'Av stuff, I'm assuming it's Tisha B'Av oriented, sad, fine. If it's general Tikkun HaMidos, work on yourself, that's fine. But anything that's Torah that they are quoting Sukkim or Gemaras that are not related to sadness and Tisha B'Av, that would be a problem. Okay, now as far as saying Tehillim, whatever is in the Siddur, whatever is part of the regular davening is fine. Extra Tehillim that you say is not fine because Tehillim is Torah. It's not part of the daily routine of davening. And therefore, you should not say Tehillim. Now, if you have a regular Tehillim regimen, from Mincha and on, you can be lenient. You can say Tehillim from Mincha and on. Kinnis and Eicha through Zoom is fine. That's all sad stuff. Your Yotze, Kinnis and Eicha through Zoom, that's fine. Gemara Tainis is the sad parts, which there aren't many, but whatever is considered the sad part of Tainis or the halachas, the Tisha B'Av, right? Towards the end of Tainis, that's fine. That Gemara you're allowed to learn. The other parts you're not allowed to learn. Fine. As far as in the morning you wake up, you put on your tzitzis, the talis katan, no bracha. Whether you're married or not, no bracha. And by mincha, you'll put on your talis, make a bracha. And if you're a bachar, you'll listen to someone else's bracha. But you do not make a bracha on the talis katan in the morning. In mincha, we say anenu and nachem. Nachem is said once a year. It has a special bracha at the end. We say nachem. And if you forget anenu or nachem in its right place, you say it in ritzei without the bracha. Just say it in the middle of Ritzei. Or if you forget it there, you say it in Elokai Netzor at the end. That is as far as davening goes. As far as watching funny clips, Menachem, the idea is being focused on Tisha B'Av and inyanim related to Tisha B'Av. The same way you can't learn Baba Kama because he makes you super duper happy, you should not be watching clips that make you super duper happy. If you feel the need to watch a movie clip or learn Baba Kama, learn Baba Kama. Now, next thing is, as far as She'ilah Shalom, you're not allowed to ask your friend how he's doing. You can't say Shalom Aleichem. You can't say Boker Tov. This is a very happy day for me, right? No being super duper friendly or social. None of that. That's not what we do on Tisha B'Av. Perhaps the whole year round you should, perhaps, but definitely not on Tisha B'Av. And therefore, someone comes up to you and says, hey, how you doing? How you feeling? The response should be very stiff. I'm okay, thank you. But it should be, it's called, you know, with a tight lip. But you definitely shouldn't be the one starting a social conversation, saying Boker Tov, good morning, none of that stuff. But you can respond if it was done to you, but with a tight lip. As far as sitting on the floor, so from Saturday night, not from Bein HaShemashos, Alex and Team Siegel, not from Bein HaShemashos, but from three stars out, Saturday night until Chatzos, we sit on the floor, not on a chair. If you need to use a toilet, you can sit on the toilet. But if you want to sit on a chair, you do not sit on a chair. You sit on the floor or a chair that is a very low chair, like three tefachim, around 24 centimeters. You can sit on such a chair. That is allowed. Starting from Saturday night, three stars until Chatzai Sunday. I said before, you should have something between you and the floor. Between you and the floor of the... between you and the floor is fine. Sorry, between you and the floor, you should have something be masik. It has to be between you and the floor. If there's carpet, that's fine. Now, that's as far as sitting on the floor. In general, you should be having less hana. It's called miyad hana. Don't have so many enjoyable things. Therefore, no movie clips. And also, smoking. It's mutter, but shouldn't be done. And if you need to do it, push it off to after chatzos. You shouldn't be doing in the middle of kinnis, in the middle of, ha, 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 basement destroyed, ha, ha, puff, puff, puff. You shouldn't be doing that. So try to push it off if you need to. And don't do it in the middle of kinnis. Don't do it with friends. If you feel you need to do it, it shouldn't be a social gathering. Just do it by yourself. As far as working goes, sleeping. Saturday night, some people will minimize their enjoyment of sleeping. If you normally sleep with two pillows, sleep with one. Put rocks under your pillow or rocks under your head. Some people sleep on the floor. Do something that will make it a little bit less enjoyable. You don't have to torture yourself, but definitely less enjoyable. Now, as far as business goes, if you're going to lose money, you can work. If you're not going to lose money, you should not work up until Chatzos. From Chatzos and on, then it is mutter to work if you must. Fine. The fast ends when three stars are out, and you should do Kiddush Levana once you switch your shoes and you ate food. Some shuls do right away. I'm not going to fight them, but the bottom line is what you should be doing is Kiddush Levana once you switched into shoes and once you started eating, eat something. Then you do Kiddush Levana because you want to be happy. My shul has a set time. An hour later, we all come back for it. But you can still do it without it, but it's better to have eaten and your shoes on. Now, once the fast is over, you're allowed to eat, but the restrictions of the 9 days still exist until Chatzos. Now, for Sfaradim, it's a little bit different. The Sfaradim should follow their minhagim. It's many different minhagim in Sfaradi land. Some have everything regular Sunday night. Some carry through till Monday night. So check your minhagim. For the Ashkenazim, no milk. No meat, no wine, no laundry, no shaving, no haircuts until Chatzos of Monday, half day Monday. If you're traveling and you need to do laundry, mutter. But otherwise, if it's not a dire need, so then no laundry, no milk and meat, no music until Chatzos Monday. All right, that is a wrap on the halachas. Yes, Alex and Team Siegel, we make all the brachas in davening in the morning, regular brachas. Whatever's in the siddur is what you say. Okay, we are wholly running out of time over here. Okay, quick. Bitachon. Have bitachon. Believe in Hashem. The idea that I wanted to get through over here was what the Chavis of Avas discusses is that sometimes the Torah does not tell us the rewards. The Torah tells us all the punishments. You get this misa, you get malchus. It doesn't tell us what rewards we get for our mitzvahs. So he says the idea is most of the reward we get is not in this world, it's in the next world. And we're not a guf anymore, we're just a neshama. we won't even understand or appreciate the reward because we're a physical being, so we don't really understand. And therefore, the Torah doesn't go into detail about the rewards because we're not really going to understand them. Okay, that's the thought. But still, you have to be talking. We will get rewarded, but we may not understand in this world what that reward really means. Now, in Tehillim, we have to Kuf Memchas, which is the third Hallelujah in davening. So in after Ashrei, so the third Hallelujah discusses that how Hashem created everything, starting from up, down. He goes from all the celestial beings to the animals, the humans, everything. And through that, we have to realize how awesome Hashem is. From all the way up, down, 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 He created everything, including us. We are the highest form of creation. And we still need to recognize, even though we have Bechira and we're smart, Hashem is still way above us. And Livnei Yisrael Am Karoivai, Hashem has chosen us to be the people close to Him. And that itself lifts us up. The fact that we want to be close to Hashem and Hashem wants to be close to us elevates us amongst above all the other creations. A thought on the Parsha, Parsha Devarim, it says Moshe Rabbeinu was not a man of words. He was he had a speech impediment. Yet in this week's Parsha, it says Eila Devar Moshe Diber Moshe. The Medrash asks, how can Moshe say Devarim? He had a speech impediment. So the Medrash answers that once Matan Torah came, he was cured. Torah had the koyach, it cured Moshe Rabbeinu's speech impediment. It has a koyach to cure everything. Now, I thought on Tisha B'Av, the idea of the day, the focus of the day should be what we're missing. We have to realize we had something special and we lost it. We're far away from Hashem because of that. All the tzaris, all the suffering that we have today is the result of the Beis HaMikdash being destroyed. Our job is to focus. Why was it destroyed? What we're missing? What we can do to bring it back? And the idea, which I try to say over, is from Rav Aaron Kotler, that a person has to have goals. If you right now today will be turned into a frog, would you want to come back as a human? Of course. You realize like you're a frog now. I used to be a human and now I'm a frog. I'm a nobody. So like you know what you're missing and you don't want to stay a frog. So we also, if we realize what we were missing, we would be dying for it. The problem is, it's not that we had the Beis HaMikdash and we lost it. We never had it. So we were like born frogs. We're FFBs. We're frogs from birth. We're missing that. We don't even know what we're missing. But we have to realize that we're a bunch of frogs and we're missing it. The same way if we had it and lost it, we would realize we have to do our best, even though we never had it, to realize when we have the Beis HaMikdash, the closest we're going to have to Hashem is unbelievable. And that's something to have in mind during the Tainus. We're now on vacation for 3 weeks. Mitzvah will come back. Have a wonderful night, wonderful Shabbos. We'll be in touch. Bye-bye.
Thank you.